with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The nonpartisan primary election for the superintendent of public instruction, Wisconsin's top education post, that is 3 weeks away. Seven candidates are running in the primary ahead of the April 6th general election. We will meet the candidates in the coming weeks. First up, it's Deborah Kerr, the former superintendent of the Brown Deer School District. What do you want to know about her priorities for public schools in our state? It's 800-642-1234. Deborah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, and hope you're all having a great day.
Thank you. Good snowing morning. Let's start with, why do you want to be Wisconsin's next superintendent?
Well, right now, Kate, our kids aren't winning. We have tremendous achievement gaps that have been exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Our kids are not back in school. They're missing their teachers. The teachers are missing the kids, and we need to get back to business. We're losing vital ground in our educational programming, and I want to create a world-class education system for all kids in the state of Wisconsin because our kids deserve better.
As the pandemic continues here, when do you think schools should be holding instruction virtually? When should they be in person?
Well, I just want to do a shout-out to all the superintendents, district leaders, and school boards who've had to shoulder the burden of this pandemic, working along very closely with their health departments and their health professionals in their communities. I think what we've learned about this pandemic and this COVID virus is that it can be mitigated, and so we need to get back to school by mitigating the risk as much as possible. We know this is going to be around for a while, so I think if we start by vaccinating all of our teachers and our staff, we can get our kids back into the buildings a lot faster than we are now.
Okay, so you feel like teachers and staff should be receiving their vaccines before other essential workers, putting these teachers first?
Yes, absolutely. Our kids have been out of school for almost 12 months, and we have a lot of catch-up work to do. And the research is showing that some of our kids are more than a year behind in our education. So we're going to be in recovery for a long time. We're going to have to look at different ways of scheduling. And I think it's important that our teachers feel safe coming back to work. And I know that's what our communities are carefully weighing in as they make these decisions.
When you say new ways of scheduling, do you mean to fit in more time for content, more time for teaching?
Absolutely. What we've learned from the pandemic is that learning can happen 24/7. We don't have to be restricted to a very structured calendar or a school calendar. Kids want to learn at any time, and so we can schedule classes online, face-to-face. That could be on the weekend or in the evenings or before school. And I think we're going to have to carefully look at our summer months coming up because we have a lot of work to do. And so every community has different circumstances. And so as the next state superintendent, I would work with them to help create a very high quality summer learning program that meets the needs of their kids.
Would you be able to work that through with teacher contracts?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the critical piece. We need to be hand in hand working with our teachers. This is going to cost a lot of money. And because of my advocacy at both the state and federal level in my elected positions, I think I'll be able to work more effectively with our legislators and Congress people to get more funding for our teachers for increased salaries.
We're talking with one of the seven candidates running for state superintendent. Deborah Kerr is former superintendent of the Brown Deer School District. What questions do you have for her priorities? 800-642-1234. Deborah, let's look at that funding piece. How would you change Wisconsin's funding formula that determines how much state support goes to our schools?
Well, I think we've all been challenged over this last year with the pandemic in many ways, from economic workforce development. And so our communities are suffering right now. And so we just can't continue to rely on the taxpayers to shoulder the burden of education. We all need to come together. And so when our funding formula was created many, many years ago, it was only based upon a basic public education. And now there are many sectors that we need to take care of and make sure that we're serving the welfare of all kids. And so I would bring together business leaders, the people from the Department of Instruction, and those who've been doing school finance They are the ones that understand the formula the best. And maybe we can tweak it a little bit so that we can create winners all the way around. So one example of creating a winner for every school district would be increased reimbursement for special education students. Because what we know is that funding has decreased over the last 10 years significantly. And those kids need more of our support, and they need more services. So if we raise the increased percentage of reimbursement, that frees up money from regular education to help meet the needs of our local school district.
Well, let's bring in a call. Samuel is with us from Wausau. Hi, Samuel. What is your question?
Just talking about the scheduling and stuff like that, and evening classes and weekend classes and stuff like that. And I'm all for all year round education, but I'm also for, you know, kind of in that exercise mode that your brain does need a break too. And so with internet access and with other schedules and other things to do in a kid's life, I think, you know, to extend it and say, now go online and watch this video so you're ready tomorrow and stuff like that, I think that kind of takes away from the well-being or the well-roundedness of a kid.
Samuel, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Deborah.
I was going to say, thank you, Samuel. That's a really good point. And so what I think each community needs to design a special program to best serve their kids. So like what I know right now, the Brown Deer students with this virtual learning, many of my seniors have been working. They've been scheduling their online learning around their work schedules and getting money to go to college or go into their next career post-secondary. So I believe it requires a very personalized and customized approach, because I know I love the summer, and as a kid, I think there's lots of activities that we have to do to kind of restore the social-emotional learning for all of our students. So that's a really good point, Samuel.
Samuel, thanks. Let's bring in Ty now in La Crosse. Ty, hi, what would you like to say?
I just was listening to, and I didn't get to hear the last caller, but I have children in elementary, high school, and middle school, and this pandemic, distance learning has been really hard on them. They don't get to see their friends, and they don't get taught as well. So they come home with homework. They get homework that they don't understand how to do. They can't get their teachers online. They don't have textbooks to look things up. So they're leaning on us a lot to try to teach them. And when I hear your guest talking about they're a year behind, I just don't think that we need to try to pack in 2 years in 1 year now to catch them back up. The nights and weekends and before and after school, we don't need to be putting more pressure on these kids, because this has been very, very hard on them. I just think we need to go back to the normal curriculum and teach them the way they were pre-pandemic rather than try to do a big catch-up.
Yeah, Ty's saying parents are really overextended in this education setup in the pandemic.
Yes, Ty, you as parents have just been heroic in all that you have been doing to support your children and the other in your community. So thank you for all your care and love and support to make sure that your kids are still learning. But what we see in some other parts of the state is that all kids are not learning very effectively. And I'm not saying to push it all into a couple months. I think this recovery plan is going to take 3 to 5 years. So let's be very pragmatic about it. Let's make sure we know where our kids are, assess them, and let teachers do that work, because they know best how their kids learn and what instruction would need to be happening to make sure that our kids are making sure they're growing in their proficiency level and on grade level. And so for some kids, that's not going to take very long, but I think we need to look at this as a very pragmatic approach. And I'm the only candidate that's come out with a statewide plan for school reentry, and I would start with our elementary kids first. And let's see how that goes and make sure that they have all the supports that they need. But there are other schools across the entire state that have been face-to-face since September. And so let's learn from our colleagues and how this all works, because I know our leaders are prepared and ready to go.
Deborah Kerr, how would you address Wisconsin's racial and economic disparities that divide student achievement across our state?
We need to get Wisconsin off the list of having the worst achievement gap in the country between black and white students. That has been the case for the last 10 years. This is reprehensible. My team and I have created a reading roadmap to focus on literacy that will help ensure that we get all kids growing and meeting grade level milestones and 80% proficiency over time. The other piece is we need to address the broadband access, not only for our urban kids, but for our rural school districts. I believe that robust internet should be viewed as like electricity, a utility that's so vital to our success, because it's not only about education that we need to make sure that these kids have this online access, but it's for business, it's for healthcare. And so we need to address this achievement gap and put a full court press on it right away to make sure that our kids are learning and growing. And I think we can do that with my Science of Reading program that will get better results because of the evidence-based research that proves that.
Very quickly, as we wrap up, how do you feel about standardized testing and when it should be used?
You know, it's only one measure of accountability. Obviously, that's important in our world, but I think our teachers know best and our school leaders, because the ongoing assessments are going to give more feedback all throughout a child's educational career. Those assessments are vital to our recovery from this pandemic. While standardized tests only tell you one story, our safe school report cards have the opportunity to tell you much more if we include other aspects of their learning, such as grade point average, attendance. So I'm excited to run for this position. KerrForKids.com. Check me out, and just honored to serve.
Deborah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Deborah Kerr is a candidate for state superintendent. She is the former superintendent of the Brown Deer School District. Ahead this hour, we talk with the CEO of Prevea Health in Green Bay as they ramp up community vaccination. That's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.